You work hard in your career, and you deserve to know what it takes to get to the top. This is Everyday MBA, interviews with best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives, all sharing their best techniques and tips that you won't learn in business school. This is the show that will help you take your career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Kevin Crane.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everyday MBA. I am so pleased that you're listening. Imagine how much you could learn if you could converse with 64 of the brightest minds in marketing. Wouldn't you love to pick their brain, ask them about their successes and their failures, and take away actionable advice on how you could use their lessons to boost your own marketing success? Well, that's exactly what my guest today did. Author Drew Neiser is the founder and CEO of Renegade, a New York City-based agency that helps CMOs transform their marketing efforts. Drew was ranked among 50 thought leaders over 50 in 2015 by Brand Quarterly, and you've seen him in places like the New York Times, Forbes, and CNBC. Well, he's with me today to talk about his new book, The CMO's Periodic Table, A Renegade's Guide to Marketing. And if you want to get a handle on the elements that have combined for success for some of today's brightest marketing minds, you won't want to miss this interview with Drew Neiser. As always, you can connect with me and reach out to the show at everyday-mba.com. Connect on social media, listen to our archive of great interviews, or purchase books from all our authors at the bookstore. And if you like what we do at Everyday MBA, why not subscribe? The buttons and information are all there at everyday-mba.com. Now, on to the interview. Drew, in the research for your book, you interviewed over 100 marketing leaders from prominent companies such as American Express, Audi, Converse, and many more. These interviews, 64 which are highlighted in your book, tell us a lot about current marketing theory and technique. Were there any surprises in what you found?
I tell you, you interview as many CMOs as I did, and surprises abound. The first thing that I have to say is, it's a really hard job. It is really hard to be an effective CMO, and I really, my heart goes out to these folks. I mean, they're just expected to accomplish so much with limited resources. You know, they often don't speak the same language as the CMO, the CEO. I mean, they're held accountable for things that are out of their control. And so what happens is, as you meet these folks and you interview them, the ones that succeed, you just come to respect that much more, because there's so many that don't. The other thing that sort of surprised me is that the formula for success, I felt, was not just a formula for CMOs, but really was a much broader, could apply. And I've had lots of people who aren't even in marketing who've read the book, who found useful things in it, because once you break down the challenges into elements, they can sort of take it and go, oh, I can use that in my particular situation. And it didn't even have anything to do with marketing.
Were there common challenges that you found to be true for all of the companies that you spoke with? And if so, what are they, and how are they overcoming them?
Well, the biggest common challenge is this whole issue of measurement. And one of the reasons that, you know, there's a lot of high turnover in the C-suite and the CMO suite particularly, is that they don't necessarily agree with the CEO on what should be measured and how their performance should be acknowledged. And that it's particularly tricky right now because there's so many digital data points available. And so you could focus on all those short-term metrics like cost per acquisition, and you could watch your brand literally evaporate before your eyes. And one of the quotes in the book that I love, because I talked at length with John Hayes about some programs that he knows are effective, but he didn't really have the numbers to go with it. He said, you know, we're careful not to overvalue the things that we can measure, and to undervalue the things that, and not to, and to undervalue the things that we can. The point being that you have to live in an imperfect world from a metric standpoint. And I think just about everyone in the book struggled one way or another, with a few exceptions, in terms of how to measure their performance and their effectiveness.
Well, I want to ask you about those exceptions. Can you give us an example of an organization that was successful in measuring
Yes. So one of the, in fact, in the book, the under the measure element, Antonio Lucia, who was at the CMO of Visa at the time, and then is now at HP, talked about how, and this was the critical insight that a lot of them didn't focus on, is he had short-term metrics and long-term metrics. Certainly short-term, he was looking for usage of the card. And then sort of a second metric was this, the reach. How far did the marketing that he was doing in terms of building awareness, how many people did it reach and engage? And then third, he looked at brand health. And I would say that the one thing I noticed in a lot of my interviews, not necessarily with the people in the book, but that they didn't have a brand health metric in place. So they didn't know what the perceived, you know, the sort of some of these relationships that we have with brands are extremely emotional. They're not rational things. And so having an understanding of brand health is really a critical one. And so he outlines that. And Dan Marks of First Tennessee Bank, he actually put together a marketing model where he could predict the spending would result in this kind of activity, which was really, truly impressive. And he's sort of a cynic when it comes to metrics. He said to his team, you can't eat awareness. Clearly, this is the guy that understands the language of a CEO, which is all about top line and bottom line. I think the CMO, as the shepherd of the consumer and the brand, has to sort of understand some of the other metrics that go into the marketing over a long-term time frame.
Your book is The CMO's Periodic Table. Where did you get the idea to connect modern marketing to the periodic table of elements? Was that your intent from the beginning in titling the different sections of your book?
Well, so after interviewing all of these folks, what you come to realize is that there is no one-size-fits-all formula. And it started to occur to me that there were the masters were like chemists. They were able to take the right elements in the right situation and get somewhere with that mix of elements. And so rather than offering a theory about marketing in general, I said, well, let's organize the book into discrete elemental chapters and sections that people can sort of grab onto. And the progression of the elements is very much like the periodic table. And by the way, when I started the interviewing, I didn't know I was going to write a book. So, But once I sort of thought about the periodic table and why I fell in love with what Dmitri Mendeleev created in 1869 was that his structure was really perfect for the book that I wanted to write, because I could talk about basic elements, things that I noticed that if marketers don't do these things, and that's the first column on the left of my table, if they don't do those, they can't really get, you know, don't bother moving on. And then you sort of work through things like CMOs and people, we have internal things that we have to deal with and working within our organizations. And then there's all these things in the middle, like transitional trends and volatile factors and what I call Silicon Valley. These are all tactical things that everybody has to understand, but not necessarily apply each one. And then as we get to the sort of heavier end of my periodic table, you get to things that I put a premium on, like noble pursuits. And these are things that companies can do, enlightened companies do to really enhance brand love, if you will. And then the last section is this inert fundamentals. And those are things that are inside the individuals. These are things that people can do, not just marketers, but any individual can do as a person to build their own brand and to be, I'll just say more responsible and contribute on a larger basis than, say, sell one more book.
Of course, our world consists of many, many elements. Some are essential, like carbon, for example.
Yes.
Whereas others are perhaps less essential. In your periodic table, which few elements are the most important?
Well, with the first element in this book is setting expectations, and you'd be amazed how many people don't actually know what the expectations of their boss is, and so they're doomed to failure. And this is, of course, Jeffrey Hazlett's chapter, because he's big on conditions of satisfaction. And so I just remind people that this you can't get any farther if you don't have clear expectations set with whoever you're working with. As you get through things like strategy, obviously, are essential, and having metrics, and if you're in any kind of business, you need to be thinking about news, and those are the basic things. When you get to things like noble pursuits, I mean, I'm a big believer in something called marketing as service, and that's why that chapter is the head of that section, and it talks about many of the things that American Express does that are, I would describe as actions, not words, and things that they do for their customers. And I think that the whole focus on customer centricity today, if you're smart enough to look at your customers and say, how can I help them in any way possible, then you are probably on the right path, and there are any number of elements that would support that thinking.
And scientists are always adding new elements to the periodic table. When I was a kid, I think we had 3. Now I don't know how many there are. If you could add another element to your periodic table of the book, what would it be?
It would definitely be public relations. There are a number of elements in the book that are successful, often succeed, say, like going viral or social media success, where PR plays a big part of it. But I've seen so many brands, and particularly we have a client we've worked with lately who just had phenomenal success using public relations. And so element number 65 in my next edition of the book will be PR for sure.
My guest today is Drew Neiser. His book is called The CMO's Periodic Table, A Renegade's Guide to Marketing. Learn the science and art of marketing from 64 thought leaders. Get your copy today at the Everyday MBA bookstore at everyday-mba.com/bookstore. It's time for a quick break, but when we get back, we'll talk some more.
Hello, this is Jacob Morgan, author of The Future of Work, and you are listening to Everyday MBA with Kevin Crane.
I'm so pleased that you're listening, and I hope you don't mind if I take just a moment to let you know a little bit more about me, Kevin Crane, and Crane Communications Group. I'm a writer, editor, and marketing communications consultant, and I've been pleased to be the written voice of some of today's leading brands, all working to create compelling knowledge leadership content for the web, white papers, blogs, social media, you name it. And I'd love to talk with you, too, about how I can help and make a difference. To find out more, just visit cranegroup.com. That's C-R-A-I-N-E, cranegroup.com. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
Welcome back. I'm speaking with Drew Neiser, and we're talking about his book, The CMO's Periodic Table, A Renegade's Guide to Marketing. And Drew, what is renegade thinking?
It's a commitment to breaking new ground and to ignoring the status quo, and to really sort of cringe. You'll see renegade thinkers when you hear terms like best practices, that they just find them stifling. And renegade thinkers really look to ingenuity as a way of overcoming budget limitations. And I think my favorite example in the book is Daniel Lebetsky, who is the founder of Kind. And Daniel truly believes that he can make the world a better place through commerce. And he believes that by creating this healthy snack and spreading, that he can not only make bodies healthy, but he can make minds healthy. And his whole corporate culture and the way he delivers, he literally, and I'll tell you this one little side story, he will go on the subway in New York City, and if he sees someone do an act of kindness, he will hand them 2 Kind bars and say, thanks for that act of kindness. Here's a Kind bar for you and one for you to share with somebody else that you think you've seen do something kind. He lives the brand, and he believes in the purpose of the brand, and that power. And the renegade thinking is, I really could be summed up in the word and. He said, business and goodness, snack and healthy. He's a remarkable character and a great example of a renegade thinker.
That concept is one that I keep hearing. There's really a feeling and culture shift happening in marketing now where it is sort of linking your marketing to something that is altruistic. There's some goodness behind it. Is that what you're sensing as well, a real sort of cultural shift in marketing?
Yes, I would say so. And in the book, this section called Noble Pursuits, you'll see a number of examples of that, how Omni Hotels has really done as much as they can at the moment to make their hotels LEED certified, to find a way to be more sustainable. You'll read about the Pedigree Foundation and how that was set up to help that dog food brand actually help dogs and help them find homes. And any number of examples. And I'm not saying that it's as prolific and as spread as broadly as it should, but certainly the brands that are attuned to doing well by doing good are having an easier time recruiting millennials. They are having an easier time keeping them. And they have a more likelihood of surviving a crisis. Because I see marketing as the equivalent of putting deposits in a goodwill bank. And sometimes you have to make withdrawals from that goodwill bank. And there's nothing like doing small acts of kindness or large acts of kindness to add some, if you will, deposits in the goodwill bank.
Do you feel that that is a critical differentiator? I mean, we're bombarded by marketing messages all day long. I try to avoid any kind of marketing, to be honest, and I think most of us do. Perhaps this is one way to really stand out in the clutter.
Well, I think I pull it back. I'm going to go back to this notion of marketing as service. If you think about marketing as a message, then you're right. We're all going to ignore it, and we're really good at that. But if we can create a service of some kind, any kind, let's take American Express and their Open Forum, which is an incredible compendium of content that small businesses can use. Or better yet, let's talk about Small Business Saturday, where American Express created a day to focus on small businesses, and it's generated billions in revenue for small businesses between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. That service that they created has cut through, and it's cut through on a phenomenal level. It's not necessarily a charitable activity by any means. It's designed to help get people to use their American Express card at small businesses. But by helping small businesses grow, American Express knows that they're going to get their fair share of the usage at those small businesses. So I don't think it's just charitable. I think it is reorienting your marketing to not focus on what you're saying, but focus on what you can do for your prospects or customers.
Drew, you've really given us some great advice and ideas today, and we're almost out of time. But before I let you go, one final question. What was the best piece of advice you ever received, and how has it shaped who you are?
So I didn't get this advice from Ben Franklin personally, but I will tell you, when I read this for the first time, it was about 8 years ago, it literally hit me like a lightning bolt. And he has this saying, which is, well done is better than well said. And I literally stopped in my tracks because in the first part of my career, we really focused on what can we say and not what we could do. And at least at Renegade, we focus all of our actions on what we can do to help our customers and prospects. And marketing is a lot more effective when you use this give to get formula. And I have to say that we live this. The whole reason I wrote the book is it helps CMOs. They're my customer. By building up their brands, that helps us. So well done is better than well said. It was really a life changer for me.
That's Drew Neiser, author of The CMO's Periodic Table, A Renegade's Guide to Marketing. Learn the science and art of marketing from 64 thought leaders. Drew, thanks a lot for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Drew Neiser. It's time for another quick break, but stay with me because when I return, I'll have 5 action items that we can do to take advantage of the ideas and advice in The CMO's Periodic Table. And we'll hear some bonus comments from Drew as well, right after this.
Hi, this is Susan Steinbrecher, co-author of Heart-Centered Leadership, Lead Well, Live Well, and you are listening to Everyday MBA with Kevin Crane.
Do you want to get into podcasting but don't have the time, technology, or expertise to get it done? Maybe you want to create a podcast for your company or feature a happy customer in an audio interview of their own. My audio podcasting services give voice to your success and expertise. I'll create the questions, conduct the interview, and produce a final audio file ready for publication. So if you like what I do, why not let me do it for you? Find out more at cranegroup.com. That's C-R-A-I-N-E, cranegroup.com.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Drew Neiser. Now, on to our five action items for this week, things that we can do starting today and for the rest of the week and beyond to take advantage of the ideas and advice in the CMO's periodic table. Number one, be courageous. Are you a fan of the old movie, The Wizard of Oz? Well, I am. And one of my favorite characters in that movie is the Cowardly Lion. You know, he discovers his courage that he had all along. He discovered what makes a muskrat guard his musk. Courage. And it takes courage to succeed in marketing. Drew says that all of the successful top CMOs that he talked to had at least this one similar quality, and it was their sense of courage. So action item number one today is to have courage. Here's how Drew explained it.
One of the things you read about in the book is that these folks really go for something. They focus their energies on something that others are ignoring, and they really seek challenges as opposed to playing it safe.
Number two, be artful. Just because you have courage and strength, it doesn't mean you can't be artful. And by artful, I mean designed, considerate, and aware. Artful in your decision-making. Artful in your selection of challenges and goals. Artful in the way that you interact with your colleagues, partners, and customers, really everyone. I asked Drew, how can we do it? Where do we look for opportunities to be artful?
It's in how you interact with people. Just put the bulldozer and keep it in the garage and figure out how you can artfully work with people as opposed to against them.
Number three, be thoughtful. Courageous, artful, and now thoughtful. Before you start beginning to think that all of these action items are going to be kind of fluffy or Pollyannic or whatever, consider this. The more thoughtful you are in crafting your company, your product, your marketing messages, and how thoughtfully all of that links to who you are as a person, or who you are as a company, or a product, or just as importantly, who your customers are and what they care about, the more successful that you're likely to be. So action item number three today is to be thoughtful. How does Drew see it?
Be the person or the brand you want to do business with.
Number four, be scientific. We've had some great guests on the show recently that have talked about the need to be scientific in your strategic approach to marketing. Shama Hyder, who visited us not long ago on episode 57, she talked about the increasingly important role of analytics, for example, and an analytical approach to measuring return on investment in social media marketing. What a great interview with Shama on episode 57, and you can find it at everyday-mba.com/57. And other guests like David Gianetto on episode 54, or Eric Siegel, who joined us to talk about predictive analysis on episode 47, all talk about the idea of being scientific in your marketing approach. So action item number four today is to be scientific. Drew reminds us this way.
Whatever you are trying to accomplish, set some measurable goals and track your progress and use the scientific method, which is hypothesis test, hypothesis test.
And finally, number five, be a storyteller. I've said it before on this show and as a guest on other podcasts that I've been on, you've got to know your story. Why is your company in business? Why should people care about your product or service? What is it that you do that makes you better than the other guy? If you can't answer these questions, and if you don't know your story, you're lost. So Our final action item today is to know your story and craft your story. Be a storyteller. Drew says it's all about storytelling.
Be a storyteller. Brands that think more broadly about their communications, I think are really going to own the hearts and minds of their customers.
There we have our five action items for this week. Things that we can do to take advantage of the ideas and advice in the CMO's periodic table by Drew Neiser. Get your copy at the Everyday MBA bookstore at everyday-mba.com/bookstore. That'll do it for this episode of Everyday MBA. Join me next time when I continue to talk with best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives, all sharing their best techniques and tips that you won't learn in business school. I'm your host, Kevin Crane. This is Everyday MBA. Thanks for listening.
You've just heard an incredible interview, and you've received five actionable steps that you can put in motion today and for the rest of the week. But there's much more to come. Visit everyday-mba.com/iTunes to subscribe and leave your rating and review for the show. By subscribing, you'll never miss an episode, and you'll be on your way to gaining the success you've dreamed of. We'll talk to you next time on Everyday MBA.